Good morning, and again we give you a hearty welcome. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Shall we turn, please, to three scriptures, the first in the Gospel by Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. And reading verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. A second scripture in the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 9. And verse 3. And as he that is Saul journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he says, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? Final scripture in the Revelation, the last chapter in the last book, and verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And once again, the Lord will bless to us these readings from his precious word. Some time ago, I was traveling between Detroit and Port Huron, Sarnia, a long stretch of highway, trees on either side. Then I noticed a piece of plywood, and written on the plywood were these words, You need Jesus. My wife and I were thrilled to see that challenge, You need Jesus. We read three scriptures this morning about Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And in Acts chapter 9, I am Jesus. And in Revelation 22, I, Jesus. The New Testament begins with Jesus the Savior. Acts chapter 9, we have Jesus the Sovereign. And finally, in Revelation 22, Jesus the Star, the Bright and the Morning Star. You need Jesus. The world today needs Jesus. The United States needs Jesus. Silver Springs needs Jesus. And you and I need Jesus. First of all, we need Jesus for salvation. The scripture says that we are sinners in God's sight. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that means eternal separation from God. And that's why, friend, that we need Jesus for salvation. God said, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. We are all as an unclean thing. You need Jesus for salvation. We find in the scriptures that religious people need Jesus. Religious people, they need Jesus. A man came to the Lord Jesus one night, and he was very religious. His name was Nicodemus. I said to the Lord, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no one can do the miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. The Lord turned to him, and he got right to the root of the matter. He said, Nicodemus, art thou a master in Israel? Knowest not these things, ye must be born again. So the man had a desire to meet Jesus, put his trust in him. He had a desire to meet him. And then he stood up in defense of the Lord Jesus before the Sanhedrin, the religious body of Israel. And with his friend Joseph of Arimathea, in devotion, he put the remains of the Lord Jesus in Joseph's new tomb. He discovered that his religion could not save him. There's another man we read of him today, Saul of Tarsus, and he was very religious. He could say to the Philippians that he was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. He was blameless regarding the law brought in by Moses. But he discovered that his religion could not save him. Arrested on the Damascus Road, Saul, Saul, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. He discovered for the first time that the Jehovah of the Old Testament was the Jesus of the New. You need Jesus if you're religious, because religion will never save your soul. There was another man came 1,500 miles to worship at Jerusalem. He came from Ethiopia, and the scripture says, for to worship. He saw the priests going in through the sheep gate, the lambs, he saw the sacrifices, he saw all the ritual, all the ceremony, relative to the law. And he never found what he was looking for in the religious system of Judaism. But God is always in control. He's going back home 1,500 miles, discouraged, dissatisfied, disappointed. But he secured a copy of the book of Isaiah in Jerusalem. And he's going down the Gaza Strip reading in Isaiah 53. God instructed the evangelist to leave Samaria and go down and join the chariot. And as he opened up the scriptures, he preached unto him what? Jesus. And he fell in love with Jesus. And he read of him being cut off out of the land of the living. So he said to the preacher, the evangelist, if they cut him off, you cut me off. I want to identify myself with him. Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Put me down. Cut me off. Philip says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they both went down into the water. And the evangelist was taken away. And the man from Ethiopia went down and on his way rejoicing. He needed Jesus. And so the religious systems out there cannot save your soul. And the world today is confused by religions. But here is the ultimate. Here is finality. If you want to get to heaven, you must come to Jesus. Religious people, they need Jesus. But it's evident not only religious people need Jesus, but rebellious people, they sure need Jesus. You remember a man who was responsible for giving the order for the crucifixion of Jesus. He's called a centurion. And Matthew tells us that the centurion and those that were with him, the men responsible for piercing his hands, his feet and his side, the centurion and those that were with him said, "Truly this was the Son of God." And that's the only ground for salvation, is to recognize the deity of the Lord Jesus. And the religious systems out there do not believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus. These various cults. And so he recognized a rebellious man. And he got converted. Because he became an outstanding missionary to the British Isles. And there's a gate in London called the Centurion's Gate, through which he came to bring the gospel to the British Isles, and went back and was martyred in Asia Minor, in Cappadocia. Rebellious people, they need Jesus. And there was two men, you remember, were crucified with the Lord Jesus. One on either side. And they both blasphemed the name of Jesus. That's what the scripture says. But like the centurion, one of them, when he saw what was done, he had a change of attitude. His co-conspirator said to the Lord Jesus, "If thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us." The other said, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing we're in the same condemnation? We are getting what we deserve." But this man has done nothing amiss. And he turned to Jesus. He says, "Lord." The moment he says, "Lord," his wicked past was forgiven. Romans 10:9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And there was a public declaration as he hung upon the cross. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He did not look like a king, hanging there in agonies and blood. Every bone of his body was out of joint, not broken, but out of joint. His head with a crown of thorns. His back like a plowed field. He didn't look like a king. And to that thief, he was the altogether lovely one. He knew that he was about to die. He knew that Jesus would rise from the dead. He knew by faith that Jesus would sit on the throne of a kingdom. And he knew that Jesus would come again. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the scripture says, and it was about the sixth hour. We speak about an 11th hour salvation. People just get into the kingdom in time. But this was the 11th hour and 39 minute because, and it was about the sixth hour. He just got into the kingdom in time. And the Lord answered him, today, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Wicked men. One went to hell. The other went to heaven. Because he fell in love with the Lord Jesus. Rebellious people obviously need Jesus. What shall we see of John Newton, who was a rebel, a slave trader, a drunkard, a wicked, wicked man on his own recognition and testimony? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Rebellious people, they need Jesus for salvation. Not only religious people and rebellious people, but rich people, they also need Jesus. Little Zacchaeus, we were hearing about him, was obviously quite rich. And he discovered that he needed Jesus. He knew that his money could not save him. He ran ahead, climbed up into the sycamore tree, just to see Jesus. But the Lord Jesus saw that his curiosity developed into a deep sincerity for salvation. And the Lord knows everything. He knew his need, and he stopped at the foot of the tree. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. For as much as this day, salvation has come to thy house. Rich people, they need Jesus. Because the scripture says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come. Wine and milk without money and without price. You cannot pay for salvation. And you cannot work for salvation. Because the Lord says, Paul says, from the Holy Spirit, that we cannot work for salvation. To him that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see, friend, it's a gift from Jesus. Religious people need Jesus. Rebellious people need Jesus. Rich people need Jesus. But we also discover that royalty, they need Jesus. Paul says, pray for kings. And those that are in authority. The congressmen, the senators, the president, they need Jesus. Pray for kings and those that are in authority that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Everyone needs Jesus. Down in Pittsboro, North Carolina, is a lady, and her name, Pittsboro, Christian village. Her name, Queen Victoria Palmer. She came from Buffalo, New York. They call her Queenie, and she was called after Queen Victoria. One day, I have the exact quotation here. One day, Queen Victoria listened to a message by her chaplain, a religious man, of course, her chaplain. And she said to him, "Is it possible to know now about the assurance of salvation and eternity?" He said, the chaplain says, "I know of no scripture that can give you the assurance of salvation or heaven." Queen Victoria Palmer's grandfather was an evangelist called John Townshend. And he read this in the court news. And he was disturbed to think that a chaplain would say, "There is no way of being absolutely sure this life of eternal security." So Townshend wrote to Queen Victoria, and this is what he wrote: "To Her Gracious Majesty, our beloved Queen Victoria, from one of her most humble subjects, with trembling hands, but love-filled heart, and because I know that we can be absolutely sure, even now, of our eternal life in the home Jesus went to prepare, I would ask your most gracious majesty to read the following passage of scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Romans 10:9. If thou should confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Signed, John Townshend. Sometime later, Queen Victoria wrote to the evangelist, John Townshend. And she said, "Your letter of recent date received, and in reply, would state I have carefully and prayerfully read the portions of scripture referred to. I believe in the finished work of Christ, and trust by God's grace to meet you in that home of which," he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Signed, Victoria Gwell. Sometime later, Benjamin Disraeli, Lord Beaconsfield, her Prime Minister, said, "Your Majesty, what has been your greatest moment in life?" And she told him of the day they accepted the Lord as a personal Savior. But she said, "I'd rather talk about the future. I'm looking forward to the day when I take the crown of this great British Empire and cast it at the feet of my blessed Lord Jesus." So there was a religious man, had no assurance. He needed Jesus. But up to that moment, he missed it. I hope he got it. And Queen Victoria came to the Lord Jesus. Royalty, those in authority, need Jesus. So friend, you need Jesus for salvation. And if you're here today not saved, don't miss it. Now is the accepted time, 50 minutes to 12. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. But secondly, you need Jesus for security. not only salvation, but you need Jesus for security. There is absolutely no security in this life. We hear much today about the dangers of the money available for social security. There's absolutely no security in this life. But there is security in Jesus. Peter was with the Lord Jesus, and the Lord said to him, upon his confession, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He knew that day that the Lord Jesus was the bedrock of salvation. There are people, sometimes sincere, building their foundation on sinking sand. But thank God for everyone in this chapel this morning that have been building upon this solid rock. Moses said to the Lord, "If I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way, show me thy glory." Grace, guidance, glory. The Lord said, "No one can look on me and live." The effulgence of God's glory, so magnificent, a human being couldn't look directly into his face. But he says, "There's a place by me. And I will set your feet upon a rock, and I will cause my glory to pass by. And I will hide thee in the cleft of the rock, and cover thee with my hand." What a promise. There's a place by me. Not selectivity. That thief on that cross that day was glad that there was a place by him. Thereby about to die, he accepted the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior. Place by me. And friend, he's right here in this building. A place by me. Jesus alone can save. "Neither is there salvation," says Peter, "in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved." It's an absolute reality and necessity. You must get saved. Selectivity. And oh, how we thank the Lord. I was only a lad of 13 years of age when I came to the Savior through John 3:16. There's a place by me. Couldn't go to any religious leader. Had to come to him. Place by me, selectivity. "And I will hide thee. I will put thy feet upon a rock." Security. Not only selectivity, but security. On Christ, the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. An Irishman preaching the gospel in London, England, many, many years ago, and you know the emblem of Ireland is the shamrock. And he might have been somewhat a little homesick. And he preached in the streets of London, England, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other rocks are shamrocks." They are shamrocks, fleeting and transient. But oh, to build on Christ, the solid rock, is of eternal value. And the Lord said to Moses, and I'll cause my glory to pass by. Not only selectivity and security, but supremacy. And the moment we accept the Lord as a personal Savior, He imparts His glory to the new believer. Paul, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And it is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wicked sinners saved by precious blood already have received the glory of the Lord. And it intensifies as we go on in the Christian life. We all with open face beholding us in the glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into His image from glory to glory as by the law of the Spirit. And friends, we've got a great future. The Lord said to His Father, the glory which Thou hast given me, I have given them, us, that they might be one even as we are one. Yes, it's glory all the way because of Jesus. I will cover thee with my hand. Sufficiency. Jesus is the answer to our every problem. I will cover thee with my hand. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And He'll never let us go. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. We're safe in the arms of Jesus. And I will hide thee in the cliff of the rock. Yes, Jesus alone can save. You need Jesus for salvation. You need Jesus for security. And quickly, you need Jesus for serenity. Serenity. There's no peace as you know out there. We're absolutely shocked at the increase of evil, violence in every corner of the universe. No peace. Adam forfeited his peace in the Garden of Eden. And the natural man has had no peace ever since. Well, I remember Neville Chamberlain came back from visiting Adolf Hitler in 1939, waved a piece of paper at Heathrow Airport. Peace in our time. 6 months later, we were at war. World War II. The President, King Hussein, and Prime Minister Rabin met in the desert, saying, peace in our time. The next day, 15 people, I think it was, were killed in Tel Aviv. There's no peace out there. And the violence is going to intensify. And the darkness is intensifying. But there is peace today for your soul in Jesus. Peace. There was a man, he was a demoniac. No one could bind him. He was in the place of the tombs. People circumvented the cemetery. They were afraid of this man. But Jesus moved in. He moved in. His name was Legion. And there we see him having met Jesus, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. You see, he got peace. He got serenity from the Lord Jesus. And the Savior was born. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. But let you and I never forget the cost of that peace. He made peace by the blood of his cross. It cost him everything. And if we have 1 ounce of decency in our hearts this morning, every one of us, we say to the Lord, thanks. Thanks. It cost him his very life to give us peace. And so the Christian today is privileged because he is surrounded by peace in spite of the warlike conditions all around us. Paul says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will garrison your heart and your mind. These are areas vulnerable to Satan's attack, the heart and the mind. But if you have Jesus, there's that garrison protecting us from the attacks of the evil one. You need Jesus for salvation. You need Jesus for security. And you need Jesus for serenity, for peace. Finally, Revelation chapter 21, 22. You need Jesus for seal activity. If you want to be in heaven, part of the bride of Christ, what we've been looking at in these days together, you must come to Jesus. That's the only way you'll ever be in heaven. And the only way that you'll be part of the bride of Christ. Come hither, says the Lord, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And so every one of us in this building today who are saved will be with Jesus for all eternity. And I can assure you, his coming must be near. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. We sometimes sing, we wait to see the morning star appear in glory bright. This blessed hope illumines with beams most cheering the hours of night. Friend, you need Jesus. Don't leave the building unless you're absolutely sure that you're saved, because you can get salvation and its authority from the Word of God. We can help you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee once again for bringing us together around thy word. Again, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, Father, again for his great salvation. But, oh, Father, we are distressed at what it cost him. But we have become the beneficiary of that great work. And we're now sons of God and heirs of God and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus. Take care of thy word, minister to the children downstairs. And Father, do save precious souls in this building, we pray, as we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Our brother has a closing hymn.